Thursday, July 26, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado, and you know, bizarrely, here in the summer, we've been getting a ton of rain. I don't know what it is. I'm getting flash floods, water running up and down the streets. I'm not complaining. We will take the water when we can get it here in Colorado because we know how many people steal water from us. So we'll take it while we can get it. But it is a little bit of a wet and soggy Denver, Colorado that I'm coming to you from today. Hey, if you're tired of the same old sports talk, the arguments, the callers that are yelling into their phones and have to be told to turn down their radios, you're going to like it a little more here. We try to look at the world of sports without all the weird emotion. We try to look at things logically. You know, we do like looking back at some sports history. If you're a sports trivia person, if you are a sports history person, you're going to like it here at The Dose. Try not to take any of it too seriously because it's all just sports. Try to enjoy it and laugh at it more than anything else. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. We are making it through another week. Always good to get to that Thursday. The weekend is now getting closer. It is actually in sight. Hey, if you would like to contact the show, let us know how your week is going. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have a historic sports question, or maybe you just need some advice. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out. We will always be sure to respond. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. There are a couple of stories coming out in the world of sports that we want to make sure that we do touch on. And as we have been doing all this week, we are going to continue our building project. We are going to compile another all-time great athlete. Yes, with some slightly used pre-owned parts. Today, we actually have kind of a tough assignment on our hands. We'll do our best to see if we can't take care of that, though. Couple things coming out in the world of breaking news that at least kind of caught my eye. First off, starting in Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees made a move yesterday. And you know, when we look at this move, a lot of times we look at the Yankees, especially, and we see some of the moves that they make, and we say, man, it's just the rich getting richer. Well, I don't know if that's the case here. The New York Yankees have acquired former All-Star reliever Zach Britton from the Baltimore Orioles for three minor league pitchers. That trade was announced on Tuesday night. Now, Britton is 30, and he has racked up 139 saves for the Orioles since 2013. Also in the running for his services were the Houston Astros, the Boston Red Sox, and the Chicago Cubs. Britton actually takes a streak of 8 consecutive scoreless appearances with him to New York to play for the Yankees now. But here's the thing that we might not be realizing. The Yankees need this move. This is not a want move. This is a need move. Hey, the Yankees are kind of funky right now. I don't know what it is. But do you realize that the New York Yankees are playing .500 baseball since the All-Star break? The problem is, that's not good enough over in the American League. That's not good enough when you have to deal with the Houstons and the Bostons and the Clevelands and even the Seattles and the Oaklands. Now, maybe this is just kind of that mid-season lapse and the Yankees are going to be just fine. They're going to get rolling again. Or maybe the Yankees aren't quite as good as the Big Dogs. Maybe they're not as good as the Red Sox and they're not as good as the Astros and they know it. And that is why they make this move right now. The American League is going to be really fun to watch as we head into the next few months. As we start getting into late summer, into early fall, the American League is so stacked with teams, it is going to be very, very interesting to see who actually pans out, who actually comes out of that American League, because there is a ton of talent over on that side of Major League Baseball. You know, I did see an interesting story yesterday, and I realize we don't talk a whole lot of tennis here on The Dose, but I wanted to discuss this one just a little. It seems that Serena Williams complained on social media that it is test Serena time again, as once again, she criticized the frequency for which she is always selected for anti-doping tests. Of course, we know Serena Williams is a 23-time Grand Slam champion, but on Tuesday night, she took to Twitter after she was forced to take another drug test. She posted, "It's that time of the day to get randomly drug tested and only test Serena. Out of all the players, it's been proven I'm the one getting tested the most. Discrimination? I think so. At least I'll be keeping the sport clean. Hashtag stay positive." That's what Williams posted on Twitter. Now, you know, in the past, Serena has complained about being drug tested more than any other American tennis player. Just test everyone equally is what Serena was saying back before Wimbledon. Of course, we remember she lost to Angelique Kerber in the final. And there is a report by Deadspin that Serena Williams had already been tested 5 times in 2018 by the month of June. That is more than other United States women and men in tennis. And hey, you can't argue with that. There's no question. Serena Williams gets tested more than other people. Now, here's the question that I have. Is it because the tennis world hates Serena Williams? No, of course not. I think the tennis world loves Serena Williams. She's giving them some watchability. Is it because she's a female? No, I don't think it is. Is it because she's African American? No, again, I don't think that's what it is. The reason that Serena Williams is getting tested so many times is because she's good. She's really, really good. Think about this for 1 second. You're a teacher at a school and you're grading tests and you're looking for someone cheating on the test. Do you go check up on the kid that got an F on the test? No, of course not. They got an F. So either they didn't cheat or they're really bad at cheating because they gained nothing from it. But you don't worry about the kid getting the F. It's the same thing here. You test the top players because they're having success. Serena Williams has never been found to have any banned substance in her system ever. And honestly, based on her personal beliefs, based on her background, I don't think she ever will test positive for anything. But they're going to test you because you're really, really good. They're not going to test the person in last place. They don't care about the person in last place. Serena Williams wins, so they're going to test her. Switching over to the NFL, seems like another day, another holdout. Because now there's rumors that the Raiders' Khalil Mack, he's not going to be showing up to camp. He wants a new contract. And Seattle Seahawks safety Earl Thomas also not reporting for Seahawks camp that started yesterday. Now, the Seahawks are aware that Earl Thomas is not going to be there. But they've said there is zero chance of him getting a new deal if he doesn't show up. Now, Earl Thomas is taking to social media to say that the Seattle Seahawks should make a trade happen if they're not going to give him a long-term deal. He is entering the final year of his 4-year, $40 million deal. It pays him an annual salary that ranks right around 6th among NFL safeties. Of course, Earl Thomas is 29. He's skipping all Seattle's mandatory stuff over the past few months because he wants a new deal. But here's the thing that kind of stands out to me about Earl Thomas, and I know right now it just looks like there's a trend of players that say they want new deals. And if they don't get a new deal, then they're going to sit out the preseason stuff. We talked about this yesterday. I think a lot of it is just posturing so they don't have to do the preseason stuff. If that's the case, hey, whatever. I get it. I guess if that's what you want to do. You don't want to participate in preseason? Well, don't participate in preseason. Hold out. Maybe it costs you some money. Maybe it doesn't. But here's the other thing that stood out to me about Earl Thomas sitting this out. Remember when the Seattle Seahawks had the Legion of Boom? Remember that? Well, let's see. Who was that? We had Richard Sherman, who is now in San Francisco. We had Cam Chancellor, who said he was going to retire. Now I've heard he's kind of wavering on that. Maybe he would come back, but right now he's not with the team. Let's see, we had Brandon Browner. He's no longer in the league. And now Earl Thomas, who is saying he wants out of Seattle if they're not going to give him a long-term deal. Don't you just kind of feel like the Legion of Boom never really accomplished as much as we all kind of thought they would? Like, I think we looked at that team. You had a young Russell Wilson getting that rookie deal. And we're all kind of looking at Seattle like, hey, they might tick off 2, maybe 3 titles. Well, they got 1. And that was it. That was the end. And why do you just know that that Legion of Boom completely blames Pete Carroll for the lack of getting more titles than they got? That Super Bowl against the Patriots was theirs and Pete gave it away trying to be cute. But now you look at the Legion of Boom, it's been disbanded. Like, it is no more. Earl Thomas is the last guy, and he is saying he wants out. No more Legion of Boom, people. It's kind of looking like now it's the Legion of whom? It's just kind of where this is all gone for the Seattle Seahawks. Finally, one more story coming out in the NFL that I thought was kind of interesting, and that is the fact that the Cleveland Browns have talked about the possibility of maybe signing Dez Bryant with wide receiver Josh Gordon away from the team as part of his rehab process. That's what general manager John Dorsey said yesterday. Have we had discussions about Dez Bryant? Dorsey said. Yeah, that's natural. You're going to have discussions like that. Now, we'll see what comes to fruition in the next couple of days, but we've talked about it. John Dorsey says he views the former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver as a very competitive, passionate person. I've had a chance to be around Dez, he said. I've known Dez. I got a chance when he was down there in Texas. I actually went to his workout and got a chance to meet him. I know what kind of person he is, and I know what makes him. Hey, I'll be very honest. I am hoping for this move. I hope this happens. I want the Cleveland Browns to sign Dez Bryant. When I hear John Dorsey talk about this, and he talks about how Dez Bryant could be the kind of player that the Cleveland Browns need, hey, I love hearing that. I'm excited about that. I mean, think about this. The Cleveland Browns have their new young quarterback, rookie Baker Mayfield. This kid's trying to learn the ropes. He's trying to figure out how to become a professional quarterback in the NFL. Maybe the toughest position in all of professional sports to be an NFL quarterback. Very, very difficult. And here's what the Browns are thinking. The Browns are considering compiling a wide receiving core of Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon, and Dez Bryant for young Baker Mayfield. Hey, what in the world could go wrong there besides, I don't know, probably everything? Should you really put more of these kind of guys in the same locker room, or are we going to end up having huge, huge problems in Cleveland? I don't know. I can't tell, but I do know this. I am hoping that it happens very, very soon. Hey, coming back, we know that this is a bit of a dry time in the world of sports, so we have been building things all week here at the Daily Dose, and today we are going to build someone that has one of the most versatile but toughest jobs in all of sports. So today, we continue our construction project, and we are going to be putting together something that has a number of variables today on the Daily Dose. And it is a position in sports that no matter how we build it, based on recent events, our players seems like they're going to have a tough time getting paid, because we're seeing a lot of that right now in the world of sports. But wow, can an NFL running back change your fortunes completely in that league? Take a look at what players like Leonard Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott and Kareem Hunt have done just recently for their teams. When we look back at history, we have seen running backs that completely change the look of their franchise. See, a running back can do that. A running back has that power. They can change the look of your team completely because a running back is so versatile. Think of what all running back does in the NFL. They can run the football, of course, obviously. But when they run that ball, they wear down the opposing defense. And when they wear down that opposing defense and they stay on the field, they allow your defense to sit on the sideline and rest. A running back can also catch passes out of backfield. They can force you to try to defend them with a linebacker that, hey, might not be used to dropping back into coverage. Some linebackers are not that good in that aspect. And a running back can also stay in on passing downs. Maybe they set that de-cleating block that allows your quarterback to make the game-winning throw. We've seen that before too from running backs. We have seen running backs lead their teams all the way to Super Bowl victories. And I know right now there is a tendency in football to kind of devalue what a running back can do. But like the guys we just talked about, there are three young guys that are changing the look of their team despite maybe not having great surrounding players. Maybe they don't have great quarterbacks around them, but that team has a good running back, and as a result, hey, they're right there in the hunt. So today on the Daily Dose, we are going to do our best to see if we can't build the perfect NFL running back. Let's go ahead and get started. Now, because this position requires so much versatility, I am going to start off our Daily Dose running back with the running back that might be the most versatile of any running back we have ever seen in the history of football. Do you need him to run the ball? Perfect. He ran for over 16,000 yards. Do you need him to catch a pass out of the backfield? No problem. He had nearly 500 receptions in his career. He was one of the most willing and able blockers that has ever played the position. In fact, former Chicago Bear Walter Payton also threw 8 touchdown passes. He even played some quarterback in spots due to injury. Now, if I am building a running back, I want that kind of versatility. See, there are a number of backs, and they can only be in the game for a down or two. They can't stay in there on third down, Or maybe they're not a first down type of runner. They're better on third down, but they're not an every down back. They can't be in the game on all three downs because they just don't have all the tools. I need a running back that can contribute on every single play, not just the plays where they hand him the ball, not just the plays where they throw him the ball. I want a back that can do it all. So I want to start with the versatility of Walter Payton for our running back. One other aspect to Walter Payton that kind of gets overlooked. Never forget this, especially in this era where we see running backs struggling so much to stay healthy. In his 13-year career, Walter Payton missed exactly one game due to injury. Yeah, that'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be kind of nice to not worry about your running back getting hurt all the time? And you can't tell me, well, that was just that era. They just didn't tackle guys as hard back then. Yeah, that's not the case. Walter Payton was just a tough dude. And it also seemed like he delivered more punishment than he ever took. Something to be said for that. Okay, now, if you were to ask most experts who the greatest running back of all time is, there's a chance you're going to get a number of people that are going to say former Cleveland Browns running back Jim Brown. Because Jim Brown absolutely dominated the league for his 9 seasons. He went to the Pro Bowl all 9 of those seasons that he played. He set the NFL record for most rushing yards, a record that stood for more than 20 years. Jim Brown looked like a man playing against boys. So if there was a trait that I would take from Jim Brown for our running back, it would just be that. It would be that dominance. He looked so much better than everyone else that he played against. Okay, now I'm going to make some people angry, so get ready. If you're a Jim Brown fan, I'm sorry in advance. I don't know how Jim Brown would look in today's league. I'm not saying he would look bad. I don't think that. I still think he would be very, very dominant. I'm just saying I don't know. I think he would be good. I don't know if he would dominate like he did at that time. Here are some numbers to keep in mind. Jim Brown was 6'2" and 232 pounds when he was playing for the Cleveland Browns. He was bigger, stronger, and faster than everyone else on the field. The average defensive lineman back then was right around 250 pounds in the 1950s. Again, I'm not saying Jim Brown wasn't skilled. He obviously was. Do you realize he may have been one of the greatest lacrosse players ever in the history of the sport? So he's obviously a skilled guy. But 6 foot running backs coming in at 230 pounds? Yeah, they're not rare now. We see them all the time. We've got 7 or 8 of them in the league right now. Still, at the time, Jim Brown was absolutely dominant. I want that dominance for our Daily Dose running back. Now, a running back can completely change the game on any given play. They can find daylight, and all of a sudden, a game that maybe you were behind in, or a game that was tight, can just blow wide open. And no one could change a game quicker than former Detroit Lions running back Barry Sanders. And I want his insane elusiveness for our Daily Dose running back, because Barry Sanders could make defenders just look silly. He could stop on a dime, and then he could start again so quickly. He could bend, and he could slide, and he could duck, and he could just explode past you. Barry Sanders may have been the most dangerous player to ever play in the NFL. He could make a 6-yard run just look absolutely ridiculous. You would hold your breath to see him gain 4 or 5 yards and go, what an amazing run. How far did he go? He picked up 4 yards. You just couldn't look away from the screen when Barry Sanders was running, and defenders just couldn't get a hand on him. You know, the interesting thing about both Barry Sanders and Walter Payton is that for most of their careers, neither one of them played with much surrounding talent. And you know what? It didn't matter. Neither one played with great quarterbacks. I guess the best quarterback would have been Jim McMahon back with Chicago and Walter Payton. Barry Sanders never had a great quarterback. His best quarterback was probably, Scott Mitchell? Rodney Peete? Neither of them played behind great offensive lines. And you know what? It didn't matter. They were just too good to hold down. I want the elusiveness of Barry Sanders for our running back. You know, if you were to ask NFL fans, who is the greatest running back ever? Like I said, you're going to get a number of people that are going to say maybe Jim Brown. You're going to get people that are going to say Barry Sanders. You're going to get some people that say Walter Payton. You know what you probably won't get very many of? You won't get very many people that are going to say the guy that has the most rushing yards of all time. And I understand it. I do. Because Emmitt Smith ran behind the Dallas Cowboys offensive line that was roughly the size of the Great Wall of China. So we all look at Emmitt Smith as purely being a product of that line. Here's my only question. We talked about it a little last week. When Emmitt Smith was in the middle of his contract negotiations and he was holding out and the Cowboys were bringing in guys like a Derek Lassick or a Sherman Williams, guys that were celebrated in college. These were guys that had some sort of talent. They weren't garbage. And when they would come into these games that Emmitt was out, or maybe he was out with an injury, they would do nothing behind that same offensive line. Why is that? Why didn't they produce? If it was just so easy to roll out anyone and just plug them in behind that offensive line, why didn't his backups ever do anything when Emmitt was out? And I'll tell you why. There was one key difference, and it is the difference between good running backs and great running backs. Because Emmitt Smith had great vision. He saw things develop. He saw gaps to daylight that those other guys, they just didn't see. They're just running. They're trying to fit through the hole. But Emmitt saw cutback lanes. He saw angles that other guys didn't see. I want our Daily Dose running back to have Emmitt Smith's vision. Is Emmitt Smith the greatest running back of all time? I don't know. But I know this. He was better than he gets credit for because he had that great vision. And that vision is what made Emmitt Smith so special. Hey, coming back, we have to continue building the greatest running back that the world has ever seen. You know, we still have to make this guy an all-purpose back. I don't want him just in for a play or two, and I think I have a good idea of how to do that. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. August Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Mayhem because wherever they go, mayhem seems to follow these characters. Celebrate some of your favorite havoc-wreaking characters and chaotic moments with exclusive gear and collectibles. August Loot Crate theme features items from Rick and Morty, Office Space, Harley Quinn, and DC Comics. But if none of those franchises interest you, head over to Loot Crate. You're going to find exactly what you need. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. It's always good to save a little money whenever you get the chance. So now we've got to continue building the greatest running back that we have ever seen. And you know, when I look at a running back that can do it all, I'm looking at running backs that have both speed and power. And when I look at this specific running back and say that he had freakish speed and freakish power, it is absolutely true. Bo Jackson was another guy that it just looked like he was playing against little boys. Now, I understand he didn't play very long. He only played for 4 seasons. He only played in the NFL for 38 games. But Bo Jackson was the greatest display of both speed and power that I personally have ever seen. Bo Jackson was strong enough to run through you. And when I say he ran through you, he ran through some pretty good players. I saw him run over some big hitting safeties because at that time they hadn't been banned out of the game yet. Bo Jackson didn't care. He ran them over. He was also fast enough to run past them. Do you realize Bo Jackson averaged over 5 yards per carry during those seasons that he had in the NFL? He scored 18 touchdowns in only 38 games. Now, could Bo Jackson have lasted if not for that hip injury? I don't know. He didn't. That's all I can go off of. But for those 38 games, Bo Jackson was as impressive a running back as the NFL has ever seen. I want that combination of his speed and his power. It didn't make sense that at his size, with his power, that he could be that fast. It didn't make any sense.
Jackson to the 20 and out in front, and only one man to beat, and easily can't run him down. He had the angle, but there goes Bo, and nobody catches Bo. Touchdown.
He may not stop till Tacoma. He's gone.
Portland.
He just went by Spokane.
There go the Raiders into flying. What a scene.
Come on back, guys.
Oh, he was flying.
I can't explain it. I don't know what that was, but Bo Jackson was an absolute freak. I definitely want our running back to have some of those skills. You know, I told you I don't want a specialized back that just does this or just does that. Because if all you do is run the ball when you're in the game, as soon as you walk onto the field, the defense knows you're getting the ball. If you can't go out into a pass pattern and catch a pass, they know, okay, we just key on him in the backfield because he's not going to hurt us in any other way. And at the same time, if all you do is catch passes, then they go, okay, just cover him like you would a wide receiver. It's not like he's going to run between the tackles. It's not like he's going to hurt us from the backfield. He's just a pass catching back only. But like I told you before, I want an all-purpose back. I want someone that can do everything. And I think we have a good start on it, but this just might complete the process. Because I want to give our Daily Dose running back the pass catching skills of former Indianapolis Colts and St. Louis Rams running back Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk was such a good wide receiver that within the greatest show on turf offense, Dick Vermeil and Mike Martz would sometimes just split him out as a wide receiver. Now, as a defense, what do you do with a guy like that? Do you try to have a big linebacker lumbering down the field, chasing him on a fly route? Yeah, good luck. Do you put a corner on him? Because if you do, that takes a cornerback off of one of those good wide receivers. And even if you do put a corner on him, is the corner strong enough to tackle him if he does catch it? Do you have to use a safety on that running back? A number of teams struggled with those very questions because for his career, Marshall Faulk ran the ball for over 12,000 yards and scored 100 touchdowns. But he also managed to catch nearly 800 passes. He had 36 receiving touchdowns.
Put together a staff and a team that is tops.
Trying to run the screen pass, and they do to Marshall Faulk. Faulk to the 20. Faulk at the 10, he's going to score.
Yeah, I can play this running back that we are building on any down. He has the running ability. He has the shiftiness. He has the power. He has the speed. He can block a little, and now he can catch the football out of the backfield too. Yeah, good luck to any opponent that we might see, because this Daily Dose running back is absolutely loaded right now. So is there any way that our running back could struggle? Well, yeah, he could. He could still have one weakness that we had better take care of, because I don't care how good of a running back that you might be, we can't have turnovers. You drive all the way to the goal line only to see your running back cough it up going in. Those are just game changers. Those just completely change momentum. And maybe even worse, you fumble the ball in your own end of the field and it puts your defense in a horrible position. So we are going to give our running back the hands of former San Diego Chargers and I guess New York Jets running back, LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, LaDainian was a phenomenal running back. He was able to hurt you in so many ways. He ran for over 13,000 yards. He scored over 150 touchdowns. But you know what LaDainian Tomlinson didn't do? He didn't fumble, at least not very often. In fact, LT went a full 36 months. He went 3 full years without a fumble. In that time, he carried the ball 1,001 times without a single fumble. That kind of sure-handedness, yeah, that's definitely something I want for our running back here at the Daily Dose. Think of how many close games we see. You're just trying to hold on to the lead. You're just running out the clock. Hey, just run the ball. Don't fumble. With LT's hands? Yeah, we're going to be good. We're not going to fumble the ball. Now, we are going to give our Daily Dose running back one final attribute. And it is a special skill that only a select few backs have honestly had. Walter Payton had it. LaDainian Tomlinson had it. And I know for a fact that this guy had it. Because there are times in a football game you're knocking at the door to the end zone. It's fourth and goal. You're only a half a yard away. You have to find the end zone to win the game. And I know it sounds simple. Hey, just run the ball, get a foot and a half, and we win this thing. But it's not that easy. There are literally thousands of pounds of people in the middle of the field trying to jam things up for you. You need a running back that just, I don't know, has a sense. And also maybe some serious leaping ability to be able to find a seam and slip through and get into that end zone. And one of the best running backs that I ever saw that had that sense was former Oakland Raiders and Kansas City Chiefs running back Marcus Allen. You know, Marcus Allen was responsible for over 150 touchdowns in his NFL career. And don't forget that Raiders owner Al Davis had just left him sitting on the bench for like 3 or 4 seasons and barely let him play. But Marcus Allen had a nose for the goal line. It just seemed like he wouldn't be denied if you needed that half yard. If you needed that yard, that 2 yards, Marcus Allen just found a way to pick up that tough yardage. He always found a way into the end zone. I want that end zone finding ability of Marcus Allen. You know, we have a number of candidates that we could throw out there for greatest running back of all time. Maybe it is Jim Brown. You could make a case for Walter Payton, for Barry Sanders, for Emmitt Smith, for Bo Jackson, for Marcus Allen, for Eric Dickerson, for OJ Simpson. There are a number of talented runners out there that have played in the NFL that have been so much fun to watch. But hey, our Daily Dose running back, yeah, he's easily going to be the greatest running back of all of them. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest and greatest news coming out in the world of sports. We will have a brief preview of the weekend in sports. I know there's not going to be a ton out there to watch, but we'll kind of take a look at the calendar and see what might be there. Plus, as we do every single Friday, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you have to tune in for that. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions, for the retweets, for the shares on Facebook. It is all very, very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.